This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
.11:03 in the nation's capital. And how lucky are we? We're the only show on the planet right now that can say with conviction that Al Galdi is on our team. Can you believe that?
It's hard to believe, I know.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Everybody's after him, but we got him. You know.
Got the white whale.
Yeah, we got him.
Yeah.
People didn't think it could be done. But I called in a few markers, and we were able to be. One thing about him, he's transitional.
It's true. He does owe you that favor from that one time.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, unlike most people, he can be purchased, which is no secret.
It's true.
Brother Galdi, it is your time of the year. Yeah, even we have technical glitches every once in a while. It shows that this is real. It's not a robot running it. Real human beings being involved in it. So even us, it happens. Nice try. You know, I'm not trying to be funny to a problem. It's simple. It's simple. But yet, it doesn't seem that these people who seem to have, they seem to be wealthy, but not too intelligent. And so, now that we're able to get that glitch done, even technology can defeat. Brother Galdi, we're honored. We got a little excited and just overwhelmed to be able to, A, land a whale like yourself. But this is your time of the year. Prediction time, pitchers and catchers time, you know, draft mocks. So this is you. Is this your favorite time of the year?
Well, I know it's yours because I know you love the hypotheticals, and I know you love when we're not talking about games but about things that could happen, maybe possibly will happen. So, yeah, I think we all revel in this time of year, but I'm happy to be with you in this most joyous time of year for the DOC.
Oh. The first hour, I just couldn't wait to have you on because, you know, I'm thinking, there is so much uncertainty. The All-Star Games. Then we finally get a competitive match. The Four Nations Cup, Galls, it was unreal. And I can't remember being this involved in a match. I had no coin involved on it whatsoever. But it got to me, and I'm wondering, was I just worn down with watching all the useless events I've seen over the past decade, or was this real?
Well, I think this was real. I mean, I don't think the NHL could have anticipated this being the success that it was. Like, when you're a league and you start something new like this, you obviously hope that it's well-received, but you never know. And that the games were so good, that you got the U.S.-Canada final, which is what I think the NHL would have scripted if it could have, and then that you got this massive audience, 9.3 million people, is just sensational. I mean, if you're hockey, that is a home run. And, you know, let's be honest about this. Part of what helped this is what's going on politically right now between the U.S. and Canada. Like, that was a big part of this. So, you know, however you feel about Donald Trump and Justin Trudeau, that dynamic and that back and forth played a role in the U.S. and Canada being such a big deal and in fans getting into this in the way that they did. And so it was like this confluence of things that came together. And, man, I don't know if we're ever going to see another NHL All-Star game again, to be honest with you. Like, this was so well-received. And the juxtaposition with the NBA All-Star game, which is a mess right now, everyone understands that. The NBA is having a lot of problems with television ratings. And look, it's not like the NHL is killing it in terms of TV ratings either, but that U.S.-Canada final did a monster rating, and it shows you what hockey is capable of, you know, when the stars align just right. So I don't think you can say enough good things about it. You know, at first I was not happy that the Capitals were the only NHL team to not have a single player selected for this event. I think that's ridiculous, but
I was glad
the Caps got rest. Yeah, right. So I actually think it worked out well for the Caps, and it obviously worked out well for the NHL.
Yeah, that was selfish of me, but I was, hey, no problem. Then I thought I almost went back on my word for a moment, and I said, no, I'm glad. I'm still glad because I want us to have a legitimate run, you know, at the Cup. The first person I thought of, and should we thank the Yankees publicly for 49 years of lifting the ban of facial hair? And the first person I thought of was you. And I thought, man, what will Galdi have to say about this and the Bronx Bombers?
What was funny about it is, in theory, you're doing this to appeal to players, especially like potential free agents. We're almost done with free agency. Like, spring training's weeks old at this point. So it's like, if you were going to do this, I feel like you should have announced this in November. So at least it might have helped you in free agency to whatever extent the Yankees needed that help. But, you know, I actually know a lot of Yankees fans were not happy about this. This was kind of like a thing that they were very proud of, that they had this for so long. But at some point, it was going to end, and obviously it's now done.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying we'd love them to have paid a little bit more attention about hitting the ball in the series, but yet again, I thought it was cool. Maybe I'm just against the grain guy. The fact that they got adults to adhere to a rule or a tradition in these modern days, to me, I thought was pretty cool.
It's one of the
in
few
a me,
organizations.
Me society. They had people up until now that bought into something bigger than themselves.
It's one of the few organizations that could have gotten away with that. I mean, I don't know of many others that could have pulled something like that off. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars on having a policy like that. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be the Yankees. There are maybe a few other teams that could have gotten away with that. But otherwise, yeah, you would have been laughed out of a room with a policy like that long ago.
Yeah, also, when I saw the Bobby Portis deal, I thought of Al Galdi. And a guy without a past, when it comes to this, being suspended. And what I'd say to any athlete, if you had a son or daughter playing, you say, the only person you take anything, you don't ingest anything from anybody that's not in a white lab coat with a tag on it that says physician. And especially in a team sport, not the team physician. 25 games suspended, and I can't blame them.
No, I mean, we've been down this path many times, and at this point, yeah, like, if you're in doubt, you got to go to your team doctor, and you got to see what's going on. Bobby Portis, one of many former Wizards around the NBA. You know, every team now has like one or two former Wizards because the team has had so many so many people in recent years and so many trades. But, yeah, that's the league, man. That's the way it is with all the PED stuff. I mean, this is decades old now, and I think you have to just lean on people above you in terms of, like, the medical staff, the training staff, and, you know, you need that guidance because it isn't always easy to know what you can and can't take, but that's why it shouldn't just be on you. It's on other people.
Well, it seems that way. With the draft, we're so used to now, you and I in the past, we've had arm wrestling matches over where we should pick. We're always early. Now we're late. And I'm wondering what your philosophy is now that we're picking where good teams pick and what we might go. I, for one, would love the young man to play his defensive end for Cleveland. I think it's the highest priority on the board from my standpoint. What about Brother Gall and his group?
Yeah, I'm certainly open to them trading for Garrett. I mean, I think the compensation matters, so you'd have to see what Cleveland is asking for. You know, first you have to know whether he's actually available for trade. I think he is. The Browns right now are saying he isn't, but I think that that's posturing. I think if the right offer came along, they'd trade him. But the question would be what that right offer is. I mean, when it comes to the draft, I'm a big, you take the best player available guy. I'm not big on, like, you select for need because I think your needs change. You know, needs evolve. Injuries can change your needs. Underperformance, overperformance can change needs. But I think with the Commanders, what's interesting is that, you know, they had this great season. Save for starting quarterback, there are needs basically everywhere. You know, not necessarily to the same extent everywhere, but, like, they could use help at every position group. So, you know, whatever Adam Peters deems as the best option at 29, assuming they stay at 29, you know, they could always trade up or down, but I think you're gonna say, okay, well, they got the best player available, but they also addressed the quote-unquote need. Now, you know, you look at this draft, it looks extremely strong along the defensive line. It looks very good at tight end, looks very good at running back. And I think Washington could use help on all those fronts, especially the defensive line. I mean, the run defense last season was horrible. That's one of the worst run defenses I've ever seen a Washington team have, and that's saying something. It's a miracle the team made the NFC Championship game with a run defense that was that bad. So that's something that clearly needs to get better. I think there's a lot to it, right? It's not just the interior guys. It's also the edge guys. But the defensive line needs help. And I think that if they go D-line to 29, that is a more than reasonable way to go. Like I said, a lot of good defensive linemen there. Tight end, this is a particularly loaded draft at tight end. We'll see if the team re-signs Zach Ertz and John Bates. I think the Commanders probably will. But even if they do, if you see someone who you really like as a tight end, I'd have no problem with them going tight end. And running back, you know, it was a weird year for the backs because at times you felt good about the running game, and then as the season went on, you saw the running game in terms of running backs not be what it should be. So I would not be stunned at all if you see a back get selected. You know, I don't know about night one, but I think it's possible. But, you know, certainly day two, day three. I mean, Adam Peters did not take a back in last year's draft, and I would think that that's going to change this year.
No, we speak out, smoke out of the same peace pipe on that one. I am I'm with you when it comes to that. I know your affection for the O's and the curly W's. Your forecast before catchers go out, do you sense an aggressiveness is needed or will happen for either club?
Well, I think the Nationals, it's all about their young nucleus of guys. So, like, Dylan Cruz, James Wood, C.J. Abrams, Luis Garcia Jr., Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin. They have a highly touted third base prospect, Brady House. If those guys pan out, or most of them pan out, then the Nats are going to end up working out in terms of the rebuild. Now, whether that's this year or next year, we don't know. It was a very underwhelming offseason for the Nats. They did not spend significant money when a lot of people thought that they would. There's been a lot of conversation. I've been having it on my podcast about the Lerner ownership group and, you know, how in is it truly on owning this team, on spending money on this team. Mark Lerner gave some quotes to the Washington Post this week where he said that, you know, the family is still in it in terms of owning the team. But he also said some other stuff that I think would make you question that. So, It's tough right now if you're an Nats fan. I don't get the sense at all that Mike Rizzo this past offseason was allowed to do as he truly wanted to do. And that's a problem when your head of baseball operations, who you've had for a decade and a half plus, isn't allowed to do as he sees fit. But the good news for the Nats is that they have this nucleus of promising young guys. So if those guys pan out, this still could end up being a good season for the Nats. So we'll see. You know, with the Orioles, I mean, they're still loaded with talent. They actually spent some money this past offseason, not in the way that I think some Orioles fans wanted, but the O's actually spent a good bit of money. I think they'll be good. The question is how good, and they play in a brutal division. The American League East is nasty. If you go by Fangraphs is projecting every team in the AL East to finish above 500 for this coming regular season. Only division in the majors for which that's the case. So, you know, the O's could be good, and they could still finish like in third or fourth place. So it's a tricky deal with them. They got bludgeoned by injury last season, especially with starting pitching. I would expect improved injury luck. Need Adley Rutschman to be better this season. He had a really bad second half of last season, but the O's still have a really good team in terms of talent. And, you know, the O's busted out of their rebuild with a nucleus of young guys and not much more. So as much as I know Nats fans hate the O's actually are a model for the Nats in that the O's showed that you don't necessarily have to add, like, significant veterans to come out of a rebuild well. Hopefully the Nats can do that. We'll see. I think it's a big season for the Nats. You know, Davey Martinez is not under contract beyond this season. There's a club option for next season. I think there's some pressure on the team to be better. I think Davey recognizes that. He brought back his entire coaching staff. So we'll see. I think if the Nats get off to a slow start, I think people are going to be, you know, calling for Davey to be fired. Now, I don't know that that's necessarily warranted. I think Davey's a really good manager, but I do think there is pressure on the team to be better this season, even though, like I said, the offseason was not what a lot of people wanted it to be, including, I believe, Mike Rizzo.
Brother, you sound great. You're on fire. And I do believe that this campaign is going to be better than ever. And we're coming off a steamer. So it's all good, man. All my best to you and the family. And your contribution was priceless.
I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
You got it. The one and only Al Galdi. And that is courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We cannot thank them enough. We will be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Coach Turner of Gonzaga, numero uno in the DMV. And I got to believe that the bloodline there, cousin of Big Tony. And good to see the Big Tonys associated with a winner, because he's been really, really, really dragging when it comes to that department. And I know that we give the Steelers a lot of credit for not being in last place. They're always in the middle 500-ish. But boys hoops, when you number one in the DMV and five in the country, you ballin'. So Coach Turner, keep up the good work going into a heck of a time period now. I did mention that Sanchez had reached out to me and acknowledged still, and it's early for Genius Up. That's the thing about AWOD's, this spot at 9 a.m., man. Most of my soldiers, man, some of them just got home about 5:30, 6 a.m. in the morning. And so it's rough on them. And I understand. Remember those days and what it was like. We started off, and it really was the meaning, and this has been straight up, legitimately, to Canada beating the U.S. in the Nationals, the Nations Cup. Just an awesome amount of competitive energy. I don't think you can compare the two sports economically. What we know is the difference. And representing country versus a team, yeah, I get it. That is the difference. But, you know, just that unbridled passion that I always keep referencing as the blacktop, it could be softball. I've seen some unbelievable softball contests. Well, you're just playing at the park. This pro thing, we're not going to talk our way out of it. It's just laziness. And they built this bid. They're going to have to work themselves out of this. This is just not going to just go away. It's pathetic. Pathetic. Jimmy in Silver Spring. Welcome to
Hey, Doc, what's up?
Can you hear me? Chopping wood.
Hey, man, I was listening to your open, bro, and I was thinking about playing basketball on the blacktop. Now, I grew up in Silver Spring, man, and Slide Creek Parkway had the best runs in the DMV. In the summertime, man, we used to go up there around 12 o'clock, and it used to be straight 11. We had two courts. We had the main court, and we had the sorry court where people could warm up. It was 11, straight 11. If you won, you stayed on. If you lost, you might not get back on the court. But we were there from 12 till the lights went out at 9:30.
Right.
Every day in the summer until football practice started or your workouts or summer league. But I go by that place now, it's empty. You might have two guys shooting on the basketball. Man, when I was growing up, it was a thing. People would stay out there all day. Girls would come out and cook out. We have a party every day during the summer. It was never, the court was never empty. I don't know what happened. I guess this was before AAU and all this stuff.
Well, but the electronics.
Yeah,
you know, we had marbles.
Hey,
we had a marble.
All the top ballers in the area used to come down there. I mean, Johnny Dawkins, Adrian Branch, I mean, Tom Sluby. I mean, all the balls. Well, I mean, it's some great runs, man. It makes me sad just thinking about it. Love the show, man.
Hey, man, appreciate it. But you know what it is? Hell, I'm just saying that young people think that, and we probably did the same thing in our youth, and the older people were trying to explain things to you. All I know is that I wouldn't, and I said this to the kids when they were living with us in the house, I would not trade childhood with my kids for nothing. And they got the electronics, they got the gadgets, and they got all this. We had jacks and Tonka toy and all that, but we had physical movement. Can you imagine today's kids playing hide-and-go-seek? They'd be trying to do something with laser and radar with your watch and trying to figure. The imagination has been shrunk. They have some things that's pretty cool. I'm not hating. Not hating. I'm not blind either. But you could never convince me that our dialogue, now look how we communicated even when the world wasn't communicating, even when this country was divided, drastically divided. Yet through sports, there was a lot of communication. And I didn't even mention early on in the Open that them nets you were shooting on. And drive around the neighborhoods now, I used to do this years ago, and just looking at the lack of no basketball hoops on the garage doors, that used to be a staple. Hell, I take a photograph now when I'm going through my neighborhood if a kid is in the garage, in the driveway with anything in his hands. I stop and say, hey, man, good to see you outside. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like I see a unicorn. And it's only just the one kid bouncing a ball or doing something by himself. I don't think I've ever seen like one-on-one in my neighborhood in 20 years. Now, they have more things that take their attention. I'm not mad and I'm not hating. I don't want it to sound like hate. Not envious of them at all. Wouldn't trade with any of them at all. But I'm just saying, the discussion is worthy. Break time, we go. DOC, Max, kicking it here on Overtime. The MGM National Listener Line number 1-800-636-1067. Appreciate you. You know, this is always, the king about this is blows my mind every weekend, is that on the Odyssey app, this thing is free. I can begging them. You should be charging a fortune for this. It's free. Absolutely free on the Odyssey app. We'll be right back. Quite a day. You know, we dodged a bullet on the snow and ice tip. And I think we deserved it. And I'm not mad at them at all. But Frosty the Snowman, temperatures did drop day or two ago, and I could feel the difference. 1-800-636-1067 is the number, and we appreciate you tapping in. Shout out to Big Tony. I'm just happy to see he's awake. I keep hoping that, you know, he don't sit somewhere and eat himself to death at night. Ricardo, in the District of Columbia, what's on your mind?
The doctor. Good morning to you, sir, and shout out to Mad Max. I mixed him up with some of the other producers. I know you got a lot of them with DD, Day, and the heavy metal. So forgive me, Mad Max. But anyway,
I forgive you, Ricardo. It's okay.
We got a good crew, man.
Yeah,
I was telling Drab the other day, man. I don't know who selects, who gets them, but we have a fine group of young people that are highly competitive, attention to detail people, and they love what they're doing, and they get it. They get it, and that's important.
Absolutely. I agree. They are our future, man. You know, and speaking of our future, I ran into your boy Linnell at the Wizards game last night. Got a chance to shout at him and whatnot. But
what's his name?
Yeah. Well, you know,
guys. Oh, Linnell. No. Oh, you mean the Willingham kid?
That's the kid. He's part of our future, too. We got a big, you know, he'll be all right. I call him the future, too. But that caller before me, he gave me some thought and reminiscing about the Blacktops, and I might be a little older than him, but I played on Sligo, that court there. That was a good outdoor court where a lot of, you know, pros and, you know, college players would come and play. I can mention a lot of other Turkey Thicket, Luzon, Sherwood.
Yeah,
Watts,
Coach used to talk about them all the time.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
man.
Butch McAdams and, lived it, man. I miss. God rest his soul. It's
yeah,
it's too, a group. Man. And maybe this group will feel this way as well. I don't know. But we got a lot of good young people that play the game. That's why Queen, to me, at Maryland is such a breath of fresh air. Every young dude is not crazy.
Right.
Is not flashing guns and doing. I mean, it's just not. Yeah. This young man, and he is, man. I love watching this young man work.
Yeah, I do too. And I wanted to weigh in on the Wizards and a little bit of Commanders if I have time.
Go for it.
Okay. Now the Wizards. Now, they are tanking, but. You know, the reason, my reasoning behind it or rationale is that they're playing, they're force feeding these young guys that they have, because these guys, they need to get in the weight room, man. And they just, that's why the record is so bad, because they're just really force feeding guys that probably are not ready for the amount of minutes that they're getting. And, you know, they're showing effort and whatnot. Actually, they played pretty good defense last night. Even though Milwaukee didn't have Lillard, which made a difference. So the defense was pretty good last night. But those young guys are a couple years away, and that's what's really making them tank, you know, to have such a bad record. But going back to Queen and those guys, yeah, that young guy, man, he's going to be, I think he's going to be a pretty good NBA player. You know, and the kid for Georgetown has a similar game. Sorber, if you've been watching him, He's very similar to Queen, but, you know.
He hurt his ankle the other day, huh?
Right, yeah. I'm hoping he's ready tomorrow. I'm not sure. They got a game tomorrow, but he's got a very similar game with the old school game. He's
but
got potential
even
for Queen.
Keel demeanor.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And as far as the Commanders, boy, I'm just going to trust Adam Peters on what he's doing. I would love to get Myles Garrett, too, but. Wow, I know you want to get him, and I know I like to get him, but man, we have to.
No,
give
I think
up
it's mandatory. I don't want. I think it's mandatory.
Got to do it.
To okay. Yeah, because I can't afford him to be with the Eagles.
Yeah, what are you? What's the most you're willing to give up for him?
Well, no, that's Adam's deal. I don't play GM. I don't do the hypothetical thing.
Well, see, that's the key. I mean, I love to get him too, but what are we? Are you
but
right?
No,
that's
no, but I just figure this out. Mm-hmm. Figure this out. Because he kills two or three birds with one stone. You're not going to be able to get a cornerback and a linebacker. We need a linebacker and a corner.
Right.
You need three things. One guy is kind of the cure. He's like an aspirin. He can take care of more than one particular pain.
Yeah, I heard you say
so
that.
So you can't afford not to get him because you can't afford him to end up with the Eagles or the Cowboys.
Yeah, no,
somebody, you can't block them now. If they add another chip to it, then you basically don't have a really good chance to do that. All I'm saying is that the arms war is within your own division. It's within your own conference. You can match up with the Eagles. You proved you can play with them. You threw up all over yourself and gave him damn four turnovers.
Yep.
So we'll never know woulda, shoulda, coulda, all words are losers. Coach Vrbanek, I remember what you taught me. But what I'm saying to you is that don't get crazy about this right now. This dude is a force of nature. You can't block him. You can't afford them to get him. Then I think it's a checkmate. That's all I'm saying. This is strategic.
Well, yeah, we're going to trust Adam Peters then on that thing.
Me too.
I mean, if he feels it's worth it, then let's go for it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm going to trust him.
Absolutely,
appreciate the call.
Matt. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Max, how we doing?
I think we're doing pretty all right. You want to hit one more break before
I'd
we get out
to.
Of here?
Yes, go. Damascus?
Sure.
Where you want to go?
Yeah, let's go to Damascus.
Christopher.
Howdy.
Doc, what up?
I heard you mention a little bit of baseball the other week, I think it was. Talking, you mentioned, man, all-star games and all this nonsense, but you mentioned the baseball, and you said, man, one thing about baseball's got it right, but they got to get their own uniforms.
Damn
you know
right.
Why they got to get their own uniforms? Nothing else more than ever. The first, when I was a little boy, it was the first game I saw on TV. I think we finally got a TV, by the way. 1968, Bob Gibson versus the Detroit Tigers. Now, I was kind of for the Tigers because they had hitters and whatnot. Norm Cash, Willie Horton, remember him?
Oh, come on, man. You know you're talking
all
to?
All right, well, Max is going to quiz you on Willie Horton way later. But anyway, but when you mentioned uniforms, how can baseball, you got to explain to me, Doc, what is wrong, like things that are wrong with All-Star games, why won't they wear the, who's going to deprive young kids of seeing those two birds on the bat? The beautiful, most beautiful uniform ever, one, pinstripes on the Yankees. How did they put these camouflage or flower, these generic uniforms on all these players and don't represent their city, their town? That's just ridiculous. Even the old ugly Padre uniforms or whatever it is, Oakland A's, by the blue. Come on, man. That stuff, it doesn't make sense, and I know you're with me on that, so I'll promote that. But Willie Horton was in the, Lou Holder was the best thing he had on this. Willie did well, I should say, today. I really appreciated his sentiments and agree with all of them, and that was really good. He knocked it out of the park, and it reminded me of, like, Doug Williams. Willie Horton is an overlooked man on what he did, and some things back then, you know, it was a time where everything was sideways, and I just thought
Kurt Flood, you're talking about overrated. I mean, Kurt Flood.
That's why all these athletes make money. If it wasn't for him and that his lawyer,
but they don't even acknowledge him.
Not at all.
People,
they,
these young bucks,
they blackballed. You talk about blackballing that man.
Yeah, I know.
Blackballed.
I know it. See, now you're starting to get under people's skin. You better be careful.
Truth. Hey, I know what I stand for. I know baseball inside and out. I know what happened, but I know who opened up the doors for free agency. And that was Mr. Flood.
And what did he get for it?
Everybody who's rich owes Mr. Flood a penny.
Yeah, but they don't understand the history because they don't give a damn. And you know why they lowered that mound, too, in 67, right?
They got to take care of their brand. Their brand. They can't be they got to self-preserve. They got to watch their brand.
I know.
All
hey,
right,
Chris.
I love you. And hey, you better tell everybody what's coming on at 1 o'clock, and 3 o'clock too. We got a little Penguins action. I love you, Doc.
Yes, indeed. Well, I tell you what. I think the youngest in charge is coming up, right?
On this side of the dial, yes.
the youngest in charge is coming up. Toby is coming up. How about Andy and Sterling? Max, can we get him?
1 o'clock. Charlie and
thank you, Chris.
Let's hit a break here because we got it. Yeah, okay. We got to hit one more before we get
out of here. I don't
want
to leave him hanging. Okay, let's take a quick break. Andy, I'm going to try to get you on before we get out of here and turn it over to the youngest in charge.
But he is ready to rock at 12.
Okay, good deal. No, it was a good run. No, I feel bad for Andy. I wanted to get Andy on.
Let's get Andy on here then.
Oh, let's get Andy right. We still got you've got a minute or so.
Yeah, we got some
Andy
fun.
Out in Sterling.
Good afternoon, Doc. Hey, man, as a proud American patriot whose father served in World War II and came back severely wounded, I consider myself very patriotic. I was very proud of this country back in 68 when John Carlos and Tommy Smith raised their fist for equality in this country. I was proud when, in 1980, the young American team beat the Soviet Union in hockey, one of my proudest sports events. I was so glad that Canada beat the U.S. in that hockey game the other night, simply because of all the trash talk coming out of Donald Trump's mouth. Unforgivable. The tariffs placed against one of our greatest allies. He should have just kept his mouth shut. I'm so glad that Canada beat the U.S., and that's unfortunate. But that's where we've come to in this country under Donald Trump.
All right,
just wanted to get that off my chest, brother. Thank you.
I appreciate that. You got a chance to. It's America. We can still have a little bit of free speech. But right now we're going to keep it on point and doing what we're doing here on the sports side. Appreciate you. God bless all of you. The Youngest in Charge movement is coming up. I urge you not to miss a word. This young fella, he's on fire. Follow him. God bless all of you.